New York Real Talk with Pamela Sue Mann, Alex Lefchuk, and some incredibly inspiring guest co-presenters from the city that never sleeps via Siren Radio and Southside Broadcasting.
Let's dance like pink flamingos do, and I will dance like me, and you will dance like you.
Okay, I'll admit it. I'm in a state of shock. Why? Because I've just seen the video for Pink Flamingos. It's not so much the supermarket scene. I can cope with that. We know it was going to be superbly directed by Sammy. She did a superb job, as we expected. But honestly, Philip Herdwood, that particular suit that you wore,
yes. I mean,
you need to put a warning, literally, just before we go any further. That, you know, it can create. I'm going to have a lie down quite clearly on that.
It is quite sudden as a suit. It is sudden, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's one adjective you can use.
And this is why I thought I'd today wear this rather distinguished and I have to say low key shirt for the occasion. I thought we're going to be celebrating flamingos. It has to be a flamingo shirt.
I mean, is this just a case of Miami Vice meets Magnum PI?
Meets my own personal Vice, I think. Possibly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. It's New York Real Talk. That's the program that we're listening to. You're listening to. I'm listening to it, hopefully, as well. With, of course, Pamela Sue Mann. Yay, Pamela.
Hello, Pamela.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you and we can see you. which isn't much help for the radio listeners.
It's very important. Having said that, Philip, you know, all of these Zoom features that we put together, the things that emerged from the PyTap from the pandemic, they are available online. We, who knows, one day we might just splurge them on YouTube, in which case they can see the whole process.
Good. And they might even go viral.
Well, you know,
come on, a bit more encouragement, a bit more enthusiasm.
Yes,
that would be a good idea, says Alex.
No, immediately, the first thing that sprung to my mind when you said go viral was monkeypox. I thought, we don't want that. We already had a picture of the whole thing.
Enough of the bubos. Enough with the bubos already, as they say. As we say in New York, in fact, we say.
Well,
this.
Although, curiously, you're not in New York, although I presume you did shoot the video in New York.
I was there in New York in the spirit and in the flesh, and we monkeyed around in, not with monkeypox, of course, but we did. We had fun. Upstate New York in a supermarket all night long, and Pamela sang magnificently. I crooned in a rather amateurish way, and we had a lot of fun, and some lovely, lovely people, made lots of lovely new friends.
Well, Gordon Ramsay being one of them, of course. Not the chef,
not
but the actor.
The chef, but the actor, who is a legend in his own lifetime.
And, of course, New York Real Talk regular alumni as well. But enough of such stuff. Pamela, you said you were keen to get Philip on board. We're also hopefully going to be joined by Lara Roxana Popper, easy for me to say, in the not-too-distant future. But, I mean, how long does the listener have to wait before they can purchase their very own copy of Pink Flamingos?
Well, Alex, I'm glad you asked. Pink Flamingos will be available for money June the 10th, or the 10th of June, as you say, over there.
Either will work for us.
And when you say Pink Flamingos will be available for money, that's not to suggest we're holding the flamingos to ransom, although it is a possible thought. If you don't actually purchase the song, the flamingo gets it. Could be an interesting marketing line we might want to resume. But I think I'll just step away from that.
Perhaps, yes. We're kind to flamingos. They're good people, flamingos.
It is indeed, in all seriousness, an awesome feel-good number, all about dancing in a supermarket, like Pink Flamingos do, with very peculiar shirts. But there we are. That's part of the whole sort of sequence. So, Pam, over to your good self. Would you like to quiz Philip about... I mean, I think we've already identified what his wackiest New York moment is going to be, so, I mean, we've already done that.
What should I quiz Philip on? Okay. What is the very last lyric in Pink Flamingos?
You.
Yeah. That's last word is right.
Last word.
Very done. He still remembers it. Pamela, Philip is a Capricorn. He has instant recall. It's one of the kind of classic features of the goatfish that you can actually ask a particular line to come across, and it's there. I mean, I could go back and say,
God knows. I spring from lyric to lyric.
And that was exactly it.
Like a mountain goat springs from crevice to crevice, from crag, indeed, to crag, it has to be said.
Well, I'm glad that question was not asked of me, because I would have frozen and I would have not even remembered the very last lyric to a song that I wrote, which was incredibly embarrassing.
But when you think you've got such a huge back catalogue of songs, it's totally forgivable.
Which brings me around to another question, Philip. What is your favourite Pamela Sue Mann tune as opposed to Pink Flamingos?
Well, now, I mean, we're talking here. We are talking about a back catalogue, and we have Pamela Sue Mann Break, which is a wonderful album, which I would recommend highly to any aficionados or sophisticated late night listeners. It has to be said. There's that. There's also Luf, which is another wonderful piece of work, and a beautiful album, beautiful booklet that accompanies it with photos, an unreal experience, both visual and aural. And I would recommend either of those two albums, all of which contain superb music.
And if I was to pin you down and say, select one tune now that you would actually go for a personal favourite, what would that be?
For me? Are you talking to me? That's New York, you see. Are you talking to me? Well, I Want Your Soul. I like that very much.
keep it here.
I liked Ouch itself, which is from this album. Ouch is a great song, really good fun. And what was the other one I liked as well? On that one, and I liked that very much. And I also liked... Wait a minute, what's that one I like, Pamela? I think I shared that with you. I'm just...
Well, there's actually another album. It's the very first one that I did, and very few people have it because I did some crazy licensing deal in South Africa, and they sort of disappeared with the record.
Oh.
It was Sony, too, so, you know, who knows? But it's called Pamela C. Mann, and it was the very... Yeah, it was the first record, and Jerry Leonard produced it, and he could barely produce a sound for me because I was so shy, I would barely sing. He's like, you just have to give me something.
Pamela, it's a lot easier from the technical side of things to actually raise the gain if it's just very quiet than to actually deal with this distortion if it's too loud. I mean, I know how to raise the gain with you for over the last few years. Every time your microphone's always barely audible, I had to crank it up there. It happens. It's what works through. It's okay. We can cope with that. I was minded in terms of the actual compilation of the whole thing. And incidentally, we've just been listening to I Want Your Soul because I had to make an executive decision. We was taken by Tallulah Randall, who, again, will probably one day return to the show, but she also produced a variety of material, etc. She's very much into the healing powers of music as well these days, but that's another line for another day and so on. Pamela, Pink Flamingos, it's still sort of out there. It's still going to be working from that point of view. It was a bit of a departure. Are we going to see any more animals emerging in the Pamela Sue Mann oeuvre? I mean, we've moved from flamingos possibly to, I don't know, aardvarks, a personal favourite of mine, or maybe even the classic meerkat.
Yes. There's a song about eels coming out soon, I believe.
I don't think meerkat sings very well. I'll have to work on that one. But no, this was just a Eurovision moment. It was just a momentary lapse of silliness that entered its way into song, and you know, with an animal who does not love the pink flamingo, you know, for every reason, you know. Absolutely. Or the nod to John Waters.
There is that, of course, as well. A man of infinite taste and wisdom, I would say.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if there's ever been another Pamela Sue Mann animal song.
No.
You know, that's
not yet, anyway.
No, let's think about gorillas. I mean, I could write some lyrics for you. A gorilla song.
Yeah, we might be reaching there a little bit too much. okay, let's progress onwards. And Philip, share with us.
Yes.
As somebody who's a voiceover artist based in England, originally from Northern Ireland.
That's right.
Wealth of experience in terms of the industry and so on.
Yes.
Do you feel as though the technology has now enabled you to actually be genuinely global? I mean, here we are connecting Lincoln with Little London, with New York. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely, Alec. I mean, you're quite right. When I started off, there was no question that it was all quarter-inch tape. It was all motorcycle couriers taking, material from one studio in London across to an ad agency and all of that kind of stuff. That's how it was. And you'd have, you know, tape ops working on, here's Lara coming in. We'd have a tape ops working on blocks to cut the tape and all of that. Hello.
Oh, how are you?
We're all good. We're just talking about the whole difference between then and now in terms of recording for voiceovers, and I'm sure for musicians too. But yeah, and now you've got the internet and you don't have to mess about with codecs. I can record something and I can squirt it down the line via a file transfer protocol, and I can send it to anywhere in the world. And I've got clients all over on the west coast of America, Morocco, India, Pakistan, you know, Brighton.
And even going all the way over to Romania, which brings us neatly round to the aforementioned Lara Roxana Popa. Welcome to your first ever New York Real Talk. I know we've done a midweek drive before. It's good to see you again. Actor and writer, known for Rainy Days, Strigol's Jewel, and The Old Land.
Ooh, yes.
How are you, Lara?
I'm fantastic, and it's so great to be here again and to be with you all and to meet you all.
Well, Lara, I'm really pleased to see that you are wearing the traditional Bond villain chair with the sort of the super chair that's basically it's the mastermind, in which basically you have the controls so you can clearly say that you're responsible for my freezing earlier in the actual program. It was it wasn't my fault. It was all Lara. She was pressing buttons.
It was
great
indeed.
Connectivity there.
Yes, finally we meet. Finally we meet, Mr. Levchuk. Finally we meet, Mr. Levchuk.
You expect me to talk? No, we expect you to read New York Real Talk. Lara, what? Whereabouts are you, by the way? Whereabouts do we find you today?
I'm still in Romania because, you know, the pandemic that kind of kept me in the country. I couldn't travel so much. We couldn't move. Unfortunately, Phil and I couldn't, you know, do all our projects because we were about to film them. And then, you know, everything got so messed up. But I'm happy that we are now on the right, back on the right track.
Absolutely.
It's good.
And once the tax situation happens again in Romania. Then we've got other projects which we'll be filming there too. So,
which is excellent stuff. I mean, when you say back on the right track, I thought for a moment that you're referring to what's happening in Ukraine, but let's not go there because that's another issue entirely, and best avoided in this particular case.
No.
Lara, I've already shared my shock, emphasize shock, at the clothing of Pink Flamingos. Have you seen the video?
Yes, I love it. Do you see that I'm wearing a bit of fuchsia? I try to be a bit pink.
You are. Well done. And you like my restrained shirt?
I see. Yeah.
We are talking flamingos here. And flamingos.
Yeah, the flamingos, yeah.
And Alex has let the side down. He didn't wear a flamingo.
It was never
going to
happen, Phil. I mean, I'm sorry, but my fee for these shows doesn't merit actually getting a Hawaiian shirt. So, yeah, it's the baseline. It's not going to happen.
One day we will convert you to wearing Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah.
And it'll be a revelation. It'll be a life changer for you, Alex.
Okay.
But it's so joyful. It's because I was speaking with Pamela the other time, and it brings you that kind of smile on your face, you know, the happiness and joy. It's so light and just fun. I don't know. I just, you know, I feel that lovely feeling when I listen into it.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Great to hear. Of course, the song would have been nothing without the crooner. At the end, I mean, it would have been nothing. Yeah.
Phil, stop building your part.
I know. All right, it's only a tiny bit at the end, but fair enough.
Lara, would you see it being used as a soundtrack for one of your own particular productions?
Yes.
Ooh, now you're talking.
I think you are the true James Bond now.
I was just thinking that the ways in which you could work it through there, we could expand, we could almost have it a kind of initial trailer for a whole series of Pink Flamingo oriented aspects there, but
why not
ponder.
Quite an idea. Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. New York. Presumably, you are familiar with New York. The talk, the program is called New York Real Talk, and this is where Pamela will be throwing a few questions at you about New York. So, Pamela, over to your good self. Time to quiz Lara on New York, New York.
So, Alex, I am really glad that you finally chose me to speak, because I have so many questions for Lara. I want to interview you. Now, a few questions that I have no idea what I'm about to ask you, but I'm sure my first question is going to be incredible. my mouth from my brain. And Lara, you are such a beautiful unicorn and such an interesting person who I believe Alex would call a polymath. Because I've only just learned that recently from Alex, the term. Someone who's just very geniusly artistic and talented and brilliant at many things, not just one. So I suppose what I would like to know is, what was your first love in terms of the arts in your life?
Music.
Oh.
I don't know, Phil, I don't know if you know this about me, because, you know, Phil and I go back for such a long time. Yes, it was music. I was so in love with music, and I wanted actually to be a singer. This was my goal. I didn't aim for acting, you know, at the very beginning. I wanted to sing. So I started canto lessons when I was about 12, something like that. and I sang, but I felt that I was good. I mean, you know, you heard me sing. I mean, I have a good voice, but I'm not just there, you know. I felt that I didn't quite have that kind of, I don't know, magic. Or maybe I didn't gain that kind of trust, you know. I didn't find the right people, because you know that talent is all about work and work and work and work and finding the right people, finding the right mentors, finding right professors, right? I mean, you probably know better than myself. But yes, yeah, music, that was it. It was singing. And I took a third year class, sort of, in canto. I finished when I was about 15. I toured a bit around the country. I got some prizes, you know, but it was just, you know, locally. I consider it a hobby back then, you know.
It was, well, you know, it's listening to you talking. Well, there's a few things. First of all, I've never won a prize in my life for music. So I think it's incredible to do that.
Yeah, that's yet, Pamela, yet, you know, it's all to come, you know. Haven't won a prize yet.
The thing that's really, really important, because people say this to me, you know, that they say, Pam, you know, I didn't study music, and now I think it's too late, or I never really took it serious, or I think so many people with music feel like if they haven't found their voice, or they haven't found their home with it by a certain age, then they can't really take it seriously. And I am here to say that that's wrong. It's not correct. Because I think there's a lot of factors, maybe a good producer who helps you, holds the mirror to you and helps you understand who you are. And they're not telling you who you are or making you who you are. They're helping you to discover who you are, your voice, you know. Yeah. And so the voice, you've already got a beautiful voice, you know. It's not even as much about a beautiful voice, I don't think, as it is about finding your voice, your unique, authentic unicorn flamingo voice. And in the right musical surroundings. And that's what good production does. So I think that, you know, I think the time has come, Laura, where maybe you need to come and revisit your first love again. You know, I don't know. I don't want to be presumptuous.
Wow.
But moving on, because once I start talking, Alex and Philip know, it's hard to get me to stop.
It's like pulling a cork out of a champagne.
We're going to have a coffee somewhere. Don't worry about it.
It's like pulling a cork out of a champagne bottle, is it not?
Oh, dude. How sweet. How did the music come into the acting then? So how did you make that segue from music to theater?
So I felt at some point that I wouldn't be like, I don't know, a genius musician. You know, it's a thing that I ran all my life to not be mediocre. I mean, it's good to be either the best or the worst, but not in the middle, you know? I kind of hated that kind of mediocrity. And I realized, well, back then I was very young, 14, 15, I was just in high school. And I realized that I don't think I'll be a good musician. I don't know, it was a feeling that maybe I'd heard, maybe I didn't have that faith in me, maybe I've heard better voices and I met a guy, a very good friend, because I was working at a newspaper, the local newspaper, as an editor, as a writer editor. And I met there a guy who was my colleague, and he was starting a theater band, gang, or, you know, troupe. And I said, okay, and he wanted me as a leading role, actually, in that troupe. And I was like, I have no idea, I have basically no experience in acting, and why do you want me? And he was like, no, I want you, I really want you in this role, you'll be a perfect fit. And I said, okay, yeah, let's try it, you know. And I loved that feeling, I don't know, I loved more in that time, that feeling of being on stage, of being with a troupe, of performing, of, you know, playing a role. It was kind of an escapism, maybe, which is very exciting when you're very young, mostly, right? When you're a teenager, you just want to escape from your mundane, from your reality. And that was it. You know, he gave me this new world. And it was like so so thrilling. And I also thought that, okay, in acting, you also sing, you have canto lessons. I did jazz and, you know, a lot of things related to music in college, in university. So, you know, I thought that it's a better option.
And I think it's true to say, and I'm sure Pamela might agree, that, you know, now your voice will have developed into a different instrument from what it was when you were 15 and 16, you know?
No, true. It got more, you know, more. I mean, you know me, even in the last years, I think my voice kind of changed because.
Oh, definitely. It's no question. No question.
Or more
it's richer. It's a much richer voice now.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And many people ask me, you know, when they meet me, like, do you sing? Because your voice is so.
Wow.
This was actually a bad thing in university because my acting teacher told me that. Stop singing so much when you talk. And it's like, this is my voice. I'm not singing. This is my voice. You know, I kind of modulate the vocals in a different way. I'm not singing. You wanted me to speak so.
But you do. You bring musicality to your speaking voice anyway.
And this is my, yeah, this is my voice. It's like, yeah. I'm not, you know, trying. And maybe because of the languages as well. You know, because when you speak, if you hear Italian speaking, you know that they are so, ciao, bella. So, and Romanian has this thing a bit. And when you add also English is also very musical from my point of view as a language. So when you add all of these, yes, you get this kind of speech.
A rich cocktail, yeah.
Love it.
And do you feel, Laura, that sometimes when you sing, you have a 68-piece orchestra in the background there, so we're in the midst of a New York Real Talk and suddenly it's a whole new musical world or whatever?
Oh, my God, yes! I have these musical moments all the time. Like, I'm walking, I don't know, do you have these kind of...
Yes!
Break into song? Do you mean you break into song? Like, you're walking down the street and you just start singing?
In my
don't
head.
Tell me you don't do that, Pamela. I thought there was a standard way living in New York. You have to do it. Well, how did West Side Story ever get made?
We're not. Our inner dialogue is complaining. We don't walk around joyously singing. We're fetching.
But in your head, you have to, in your imagination, you have to be like walking around and be like.
Your theme tune, the March of the Gladiators, other areas, Exodus. The Magnificent Seven. These are all great numbers to work with.
Theme from the Big Country.
theme from the Muppets. That's usually my theme as I walk around the streets of New York.
It's the Muppet Show!
It's time to raise the curtain on the Muppet Show tonight.
Why do we always come here?
I guess we'll never know.
It's like a kind of torture to have to watch the show.
But now let's get things started. Why don't you get things started?
It's time to get things started
on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, everybody.
You did such a great impression.
Now, for a moment, I thought there was a green frog that had emerged with a pink flamingo, but no, it's there okay. It's just Philip Birdwood.
Okay, everybody. Yeah, I know.
So, Laura, do you do character voice too?
Character?
Yeah, do you do character voices like?
Like impressions. I don't know. No, not really. No, it isn't like my thing, but I think I can try. I don't know.
Wow.
I think I can be good at it. Like, you know.
Sure.
You know that Disney Plus are always looking for Eastern Europeans to voice their characters for the global market. Yeah. That's the reason Vladimir Zelensky had a good role voicing characters for Disney and Pixar before he became president. There we are. Just goes to show.
Well. How about that?
Well,
yeah.
So I suppose the next question, Laura, is then how does one such as yourself segue into the world of fashion from the music and acting? And
I know, and I've done many things along the way.
It's really fascinating.
But none of those things, Laura, have been mediocre. You've always excelled. That's the important thing.
Thank you. or maybe I've been very, very bad. Like,
we don't talk about those.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I've always tried to find myself and find my passion. And the true thing about me is that I can't do things just for money or just for, you know, having a job, just being integrated in society and things like that. I've always wanted to do things that I truly love, that I'm truly passionate about. And even in my art projects, if I didn't feel that that's a good fit there, I just, you know, I couldn't continue. I have to be very, very passionate of what I'm doing. So this came after many years of struggling in acting, both theater and film, not meeting the right people. I didn't know Phil back then. So.
Oh, that's a long time. that's a long time ago.
That's a very long time ago. And you know how it is in the beginning, like you're doing, you're a bartender, you're a hostess, you get all sorts of jobs just to pay your rent and you don't really break right away. We know it. This is something for all yeah. of us. But I found so many impediments at some point that I really wanted to have, I don't know, to be successful and to do my own thing, to not count on so many people, on so many casting directors and ta-ta-ta. And they all, you know, asked me for ads for like blonde bimbos and this was made. Typo. And I just didn't want that. Yeah, I wanted more.
So many times I've had to turn people down because I say I don't do blonde bimbos, you know? I mean,
well, that's
I don't
it, know Alex. It's,
right? it is,
but, yeah. it's
no.
It's a very melancholy situation for you, yeah. Alex. It's got to be said. It's the cross you have to bear.
My mom was having a Romanian brand, a fashion brand on an elegant line, a different kind of. But she had it from the 90s, so she had this small workshop here and was selling in Romania. And I started kind of working with her on little jobs. And then I said one time, this is something different. Because I've seen that the online was very, very powerful. And we had all these platforms coming up. It was like back in 2013, something like that, when we started. So, you know, the online was growing. And I said, let's do something together. Let's try this together. It would be so comfortable and fun. And we will, you know, bond. And let's do this. And she was, yeah, okay, let's try this. Let's see what comes out of this. So we started this kind of little project back then. And it grew. And it made me so passionate and curious because it was exactly on my personality. You know, I wanted to learn a lot. And I also had success right away, or I had, you know, results right away. I didn't have to wait for years to come to make it happen. I had it, I did this and this happened. I did this. So, you know, this is marketing, you know, this is branding, this is marketing. You have quicker results. You see the success right away. You see if you're doing good or bad. You have this kind of pulse. And it was very much on my personality. So this is how it kind of all began.
And now it's an international fashion brand.
Yeah. But I didn't quit, and I started doing all sorts of other things. And of course, I continued all my film projects because, you know, it's a love that you have in your heart.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's interesting because the idea that the arts are cousins of one another, they're relatives. And it's so interesting when you start to study another art form, or maybe it's always been in your household. It's always been, you've grown up with it through osmosis, but there's one form of an art form, and then there's another one, and then there's another one. And what I think is really beautiful is that you don't lose anything from doing one for a while, and maybe not the other, because there's a process of building worlds. There's a process of the visual, of the sonic, of the textural, of it. In every single art form, it all exists. It's just a different language.
And they cross-fertilize as well, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Basically bring everything that you know, all your talents in everything, in every project. I mean, I use...
And your voice. So this brings me back to the music, Laura, because...
Yeah, of course.
You know, like you found your voice in the visual and fashion and textures and colors and all that. And inspiration, historically or otherwise. So you found that in acting and in writing and all that. And so now it's time to return to music because that's... I think here's an example. So when I had my daughter, I tried to play music, but it was so hard because she was just like, booby, mommy, you know, like all the time. I'm like, all right, I can't do this anymore. So I took time off. I took a good amount of time off. And after my mother died, I just started writing again. But I thought I would suck because I didn't do music for many years. But what I discovered was all the richness of living and all the other projects and all the, because I've dabbled in a little bit of fashion myself and fashion shows and styling people, et cetera. And all of this came in. And after several years of not writing songs and making albums and doing shows, I became a better songwriter just through living, through all of the input and the other disciplines of art. So I think it's time for you to go to singing because you're going to be shocked at everything you have, and you're going to even find your unique Laura voice that no one else in the world has.
And it's true to say as well that, you know, there are roles in, say, Shakespeare, for example, that you can't play when you're young. You know, you can only play them when you're much older and you've got much more experience of life.
Are you suggesting that Laura should be playing King Richard? I could think that, or possibly King Lear.
No, but I think you have to. Well, I think to play King Lear, you have to have lived a life. You can't do it as a middle-aged
Laura
actor.
As Lear. The thing is already being written as we speak.
Lear and the Swan.
10 years or so. Let's have it.
Laura, time is tight as ever, but I will ask the question that Pamela Nolly puts to you. Have you got a wacky New York moment of an experience you've had in New York which was particularly bizarre or unusual now you think back on it?
Well, let me continue upon that question, because even if you've not actually been to New York City, but you have experienced it through watching a film or through identifying something that you've heard or experienced in New York City, is there something wacky that comes into your mind in your idea of New York experience?
Well, to to be honest, I've never been to New York, but it has always, that's going to change very fast. I know. Thank you so much. But it has always been my dream. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the cinema or everything, but I've always wanted to go to New York. And of course, Frank Sinatra's New York, New York.
Yeah.
I mean, Ellis and Lady Gaga. I mean, everybody's singing that song. And
New York state of mind.
It is a state of mind. And all the films that are made there. I don't know, a wacky moment, but I don't know. What's your favorite film with New York? I'm very curious.
Film?
Well, it's going to be Can't Stop the Music, surely, the 1980s classic with Valerie Breen.
There are so many. Have to say, I watched West Side Story when I was very young. The film, not the Spielberg one, not the recent one, but the original.
The original, I've seen that.
That was
it's pretty much shot for shot the same thing, the Spielberg. He hasn't changed too much. Is.
but it's just the most magnificent, joyous film that you could imagine. It had everything.
It was
Shakespeare, of course.
And secretly, I can reveal Philip Hurdwood has always wanted to be Officer Krupke. It's a little known fact, but it is.
Oh, now you've let that cat right out of the bag, Alex.
You can't wear a shirt as Hawaiian as that and not expect me to actually refer to
I'm undercover, Krupke. You realize I'm undercover, and you've blown it.
Yeah.
Laura, I'm
yeah.
here to tell you there's a film that I'm not sure Alex would like. I think Philip would absolutely hate. And it's quintessentially New York. And it is a film, a very indie film called Wild Style. And it's my daughter Faye watched it with me when she was just little, and she threw herself down on the ground and started breakdancing. And it's one of these indie African American films where the people that played the characters in the film were actually real people doing, so like the first graffiti artist, the first runner, Flash, all the first break dancers and rap artists, and they used to have like these gang rap wars where they would just out rap each other, throw themselves on the ground. And it was the beginning, like before Michael Jackson with the glove, this was happening in New York City. And it's an amazing film because the funny thing is the people like the Zephyr, who did the real graffiti on the trains, was in the film under a different name, but he was actually in the film. And it's just fascinating because it gives you a look into New York City in a terrible, terrible time, which is the 80s, bombed out in the Bronx and really like third world and troubled. But it was—
but not as bad as Kiev. Everything's relative.
Well, it was the birth of hip hop. It was the birth of rap, of post-jazz rap, of like Gil Scott Heron beat poets to the 80s, and the fashion and the culture of it, and you see where it really, really began. So I very highly recommend Wild
Style. There we are. It's
can I recommend a film called The Warriors? The Warriors. It's absolutely directly, the story is like a Greek.
Clearly you're into a 1980s moment, Philip, so let's not go
any further. 1970s, exactly. Late 70s, Walter Hill, directed by Walter Hill, and it is the most magnificent film you've ever seen in all your life, set in New York, and it's about gangs, but it's balletic, and it's beautiful, and it's astonishing. And there are so some moments in it. There are some moments in it which I think you'll never forget.
With the Warriors and Philip Hurdwood's filmic recommendation, obviously taking us into a new form of New York Real Talk, but Phil Dennis will be happy. That brings to an end this edition, because time as ever is tight. Pam, the last two questions for Philip and Laura, please.
Okay, starting with Laura, and I'm going to cry in a minute because I don't want this to be over. So I, you know, it's not fair. It's not fair, Alex.
Don't blame me, blame Kronos.
So Lara, question number one, in our New York way, have you had a good time with us, number one?
Of course, always, yes.
And number two, will you please come back soon?
Yes, please invite me and I'll be here. I'll be there in New York.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. These little town blues are melting away. I'll make a brand new start of it in old New York. If I can make it there, in a city that never sleeps. And find I'm a number one, top of the list, king of the hill, a number one. These little town blues, are melting away. I'm gonna make a brand new start of it. It's up to you, New York.